Securities and advisory services through Independent Financial Group, LLC, a registered broker-dealer and investment advisor member, FINRA SIPC.
Good morning, America. Dennis O'Brien, President of O'Brien Retirement Investment Group in Mystic, Connecticut. How is everybody today? What a beautiful morning. The humidity has left the building. Yay! Hope everybody's doing well out there driving around with the kids to the soccer games or whatever they play in the summertime. What is it? The All-Stars? Little League All-Stars? I saw the Mystic 9-10 girls won the softball District 10. Congratulations to all the ladies, especially Miss Bogle out there, who I know personally. Fantastic job. I'm with Pam Gracie. Hi, Pam. How are you?
Doing well.
Pam owns Gracie Benefit Solutions and works closely with Aflac. And we're with Doug Capazzi. Hi, Doug. How are you?
Good morning, sir. How are you doing?
Did I blow your last name again?
No, you're good.
Are you sure? You're
yeah,
being you're polite. Are you? And Doug's with the Guardians of the Purple Heart, a veterans group that's getting very, very active in the area. Thanks for coming on, Doug. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me again.
Yeah. I just want to talk, do a little financial stuff, and we'll get back to Doug and Pam and chat about what's going on out there. We're in a very interesting position. My office has been very, very busy this week. People are we're thinking of selling out everything because they're worried about tariffs. Tariffs! Everybody's worried about our president fighting with the Chinese and EU over tariffs. And here's my take on it. Do not sell a thing. It's all hot air. They're going to work it out. That's my opinion. Okay? And after they work it out, things are going to surge big time. Because if you sell now and go into the money market fund earning 0.0000000.1%, you're going to be really ticked off if things take off again and all this hot air on the tariff. Because you got to remember, Trump is a real estate guy. And real estate guys are by nature full of you-know-what. Okay, they like to go back and forth. They like to fight. They like to argue. It's all posturing, all right? Now, the Chinese have a decision to make, all right? Rumor is the Chinese went to the EU and said, hey, let's get together and go against Trump in America. The EU went, I don't know. We sell a lot of BMWs and Mercedes in America. I don't know if we really, 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 really want to tick America off. So, and plus, I don't know if we really can trust you with our technology, which is probably a very wise decision by the EU. That's a rumor, by the way, that the Chinese approach the EU and whatnot. So I think eventually it's going to get solved, and I think it's going to work out to our benefit, and I think the market's going to recognize this and eventually surge. So hang in there, kids. Do not sell into the media headlines, because that's the worst thing you can do. The other thing is I want to talk about a little bit is debt, okay? A lot of people out there are telling me that they have friends in trouble with credit cards, a lot of debt. The older people tell me that they don't understand these kids. How come they can't wait to buy something? And I always tell our older senior citizens, listen, I go, when you were 18, nobody was hitting you with 5, 6, 7 credit card solicitations every week. Well, guess what? Your 18-year-old, 19-year-olds now? They're getting hit credit card solicitations, and they don't have a clue, some of them, that it's not free money, okay? So it's up to us to teach them this, okay? Now, Chris, my engineer, is looking because he's heard this before because it's my mantra. But be aware that, you know, when we have capitalism, you have making profits and everything else, the most profitable industry in America, probably after marijuana, if it's legal, is the credit card industry, okay? So bear in mind, teach the kids, your grandchildren, that this is not free money. If you make a big mistake and buy a big truck at 21 years old because you're in the Navy in Groton and you just got a sign-on bonus, you made a big mistake, okay? Save your money, save your money, save your money on an automatic basis. And these are some of the things we talk about. Now, my office is located at Exit 90 down from Steakloft in Mystic. And if you call in any time during the week, feel free. The number is 860-415-9614. And usually I'll let it go to avoid. You get so many junk calls. Now, you guys getting these robocalls? Pam, we're getting inundated with these robocalls. You're getting them too, right?
Yes, all the time.
It's absolutely driving me nuts because they pretend to be a local number. They're hijacking the local number. And then the thing comes on. And one really weird one this week is, bless you. Thank you. Bless you. I don't even know if they're selling anything. Or they just want me to pick up and then the pitch will come. But, you know, of course, I never pick up. It forwards to my iPhone. I block it. Okay? But within a day or two, it's coming in from Utah or Texas or wherever, you know. So just be aware of these robocalls. A lady in Mystic this week, 83 years old, family friend, got a call. Grandson's in an auto accident. Sent us $5,000. Need him. She said, put him on the line. It doesn't sound like my grandson. What's going on? Well, send him $1,500. It was all scam. It was a scam. She was in a total panic. I don't have that kind of money. You know, they because of the internet, because of the data filtering out there, they know who's single. They know how old you are. They know you're living alone. They probably know the value of your house. They know if you have a mortgage on it. And they call and they try to victimize our senior citizens. So be aware of this. If you get a call, grandchild's in trouble, send money right away. That's not what he needs right away. What he needs right away is medical attention. Tell me where he's at. I'll call his parents, everything else. And a fellow officer came in the other day. I don't say fellow officer because I was not an officer, but former state trooper, former police officer, former security officer at one of the casinos came in the other day. And they came in with the, you're going to be under arrest, blah, 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 with a phony phone call. And he said, show me the warrant because I like to put a warrant out on you. They called the wrong guy because he went right back at them, you know. And he was telling me the story, and I'm sitting there giggling like a schoolgirl because I was just like, it's good to hear that it happened on the weather. This is going on constantly. Our BNI Thames group, we meet Thursday mornings at 7:30 at the Garden Inn on 184. Peter Maneri, our CPA in the group, tells us he's constantly having his little old ladies getting phone calls from the IRS threatening to arrest her for non-payment of taxes. And many times I'll call on Friday afternoon. Peter's gone already. They're at his door on Monday morning in a panic, crying, because they think these phone calls are real. The IRS will never, ever, ever, ever call you. You get a letter from them, fine. Call Peter. He'll help you take care of it. But they will never call, so please be aware of that. They're picking on our seniors. It's ticking me off. Spread the word. Spread the word. It's all a bunch of BS, and it's not right. So when we get back, we're going to talk to Doug and Pam. We're going to talk about the Guardians of the Purple Heart and the wonderful work they're doing for our local vets, helping them when they need help and transitioning to civilian life and the struggles they have and the things you can do to help Doug and Pam help these veterans that many times have been injured in battle and need our help when they transition to civilian life. My name is Dennis O'Brien. If you'd like my retirement 10 commandments sent to you through email, just go to my website, www.obrienretire.com. Be back in a few. Thank you. Dennis O'Brien, the Retirement Life and Investing Show on 94.9 News Now. Hope everybody's doing well this beautiful Saturday morning in southeastern Connecticut, western Rhode Island, eastern Long Island. We're with Doug and Pam. They're both with the Guardians of the Purple Heart, which is an absolutely wonderful name and more wonderful institution. Doug, Pam, welcome to the show.
Thank you, sir.
And tell us... For the people out there that don't know what you do, explain to me what your organization is and what it does.
So we are a IRS-approved 501c3 nonprofit organization, and we specialize in obtaining items or services for Connecticut combat wounded veterans that aren't being met by other organizations, say, such as the VA. So what I like to say is where the VA has to stop because of their corporate red tape, we kind of come in and can kind of handle, you know, certain needs and wants and wishes through, like, just reaching out to the community, reaching out to our contacts and the people that we know. We kind of, the team that I work with, they're excellent team, great group of people. They work so hard day in and day out. With the help of them, we are able to pretty much accomplish the impossible at this point.
It is amazing. Now, there's a lot of vet groups out there. Why do you think the need for your group arose? And
well, our founder, Brent Walker, he actually started this organization years and years and years ago. And he was doing a motorcycle run every year, and he was donating the funds to the Wounded Warrior Project. Well, he wanted to get a little bit more personal. He wanted to have more of like a one-on-one experience with a combat wounded vet, as he is. And he decided that he wanted to just focus on one, you know, Purple Heart recipient in Connecticut and help them with their needs.
Right.
There's so many combat wounded vets out there that, you know, they're humble. They don't ask for help. They'll just keep, you know, driving on. They'll put their head down and they'll keep pushing through to get the mission done. But there's those people that just, they need that help. They need that extra little push.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I mean, we do have the VA to help us, but like I said, the VA can only go so far.
Right.
They can only help you out with so much.
Right.
And, you know, he saw a need to help, you know, these people. And then he just turned around and started focusing on one person. Then, you know, I was a volunteer in the organization. Then he came to me and was like, look, I need help running it. You know, can you give me a hand and take over as president? And together we'll, you know, we'll accomplish big things. And I was just like, yeah, you know, let's do it. And, you know, 2 years, almost 3 years in the running now, I've been president of the organization. And it's every day, every week, we keep going a little bit further and a little bit higher. So
it's amazing what you can do when you're totally dedicated. Now, Pam Gracie over here from Gracie Benefit Solutions, part of my BNI group, she is not a combat wounded vet.
No.
So why is Pam involved?
I really feel that the veterans should have a lot of support. My father was a Marine. My father-in-law is a retired Navy chief. So we have a lot of military in our family.
Right.
And you do see way too often they're not supported when they come back.
So right. Yeah, you feel very strongly in the memory of your family members to help out and whatnot.
Absolutely.
And part of a lot of our listeners out there, their grandparents, mom, dad, were involved maybe out there, and they'd like to help out. How could they help?
It's actually very easy. Like, they can go to our Facebook page to search Guardians of the Purple Heart.
Yeah.
Every single month, pretty much, we have something going on, whether we're attending an event or hosting an event. Or if they would like to become part of the organization, they can just send us a message, and we will, either myself or Brent will contact them back. Usually it's within, say, an hour, and let them know what they have to do. We'll ask them, you know, do you just want to become like an occasional volunteer to help us out at events? Because a lot of times we're at these events and we need people to help us with the tables, to sell merchandise, to push, you know, the word as we're working with other people.
Right.
But we also want the organization to get bigger.
Right.
You know, we want more people, as we call them guardians. You know, we wear that title as a guardian. We want people to just join the organization.
Now, do you only help a Purple Heart recipient, or
organization?
Not everybody injured becomes a Purple Heart recipient, right?
The organization is designed to help a Connecticut Purple Heart recipient.
Okay.
But what we also do is, if we know of a veteran that's struggling with, you know, something, we will reach out to them and give them a hand with it.
Okay.
A lot of times, you know, I'll get phone calls, text messages, Facebook messages of people who just need to talk.
Just need someone to chat.
Yeah, they just need, you know, someone to basically get stuff off their chest.
Right.
And they don't want to call the hotline. They just, you know, want someone who's basically...
They trust.
Right. You know, it's a big difference if, you know, you call the veteran suicide hotline. You know, you're talking to someone who's probably never stepped foot in the sandbox, as we call it.
Right.
But yet, if you talk to somebody who's been over there, you kind of have that one-on-one connection, so it's easier to talk about it.
Yeah.
So we'll help them out that way. If there's, you know, veterans out there that just want to get together and hang out, have a barbecue, go out for a beer, you know, go out for a motorcycle ride. I mean, I just got my motorcycle, so
I saw it in the parking lot.
You know, anyone who wants to go for a ride, just, you know, message us, and we'll get a group of people together and just get out there and just, you know, support each other.
Yeah, that's absolutely wonderful. Now, let's talk about their financial condition when they come back. Do they need help financially in terms of having someone to talk to about that end of it too, you think? No, this is unprepared. We didn't rehearse this or anything, but I'm live here, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's possible. There's, you know, a lot of people who, since they're deployed, they get, you know, the deployment money and all that, and then they come home, and since it's not really being spent, especially if it's a single guy or a single, you know, female soldier, they have all this money in the bank, so then it's just, you know, they go spending willy-nilly, you know, on that truck you were just talking about.
Yeah, that's
and they can
thing.
Find themselves in, you know, in a bit of a rut.
Yeah.
But for the most part, you know, I see people who are smart about it.
They are smart.
Do. I mean, they do take that well-deserved vacation. They do buy themselves something flashy, like a "Hey, I done good" type of gift.
Get themselves a motorcycle, maybe.
Yeah, no.
I could resist.
That was 10 years in the making.
It's a nice bike, by the way.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
But yeah, it's, you know, some of them might. I mean, you know, a lot of veterans run into the situation where they come back, and then next thing you know, their marriage ends.
Yeah.
And they're facing that sort of financial struggle.
Let's talk about the marriage ending and that sort of thing. This is sensitive stuff.
Yep.
But I deal with a lot of divorce people, a lot of people who lost a spouse. When they come back, do you feel like the absence changed the person while they were serving? Of course, they come back changed. And they have trouble adapting to fitting into the role they were in before.
Right. Yeah. It's the one thing that a lot of people have to remember too, is it's not only that side of the coin. The other side of the coin is while we're away, life here in the States doesn't stop.
Right.
So husbands and wives and mothers and, you know, all these people, they have to learn to basically carry on their daily duties without the help of that person that was there.
Right.
So when we come home, I felt like I was a nuisance. I felt like I was getting in the way of
the normal routine.
And, you know, it was, I'd be looking at a basket of laundry and I'd be like, oh, I'm going to do the laundry. And nope, you don't do laundry on Tuesdays because it's, you know, chaotic in the laundromat or whatever.
Oh my God. Yeah.
And I felt like I was throwing a wrench into the works.
Yeah.
And at that point you kind of feel, you know, you kind of feel like you're a pain. So it's not only the soldier that changed or anyone in the military that changed. It's the people at home that have changed, too.
Right.
So, you know, both parties have to take that into consideration.
So it's like the kid that comes home from college times 10,000.
Yep.
Yeah. Because the time, experiences, because it's always an adjustment when a family member leaves and then, you know, comes back home.
Yeah.
And so it's much more dramatic in that respect. So you look for volunteers. Obviously, you're looking for contributions to help.
Correct.
Help these people. Do you give them money? Is it something where if they have an emergency?
It really all depends on the situation.
Okay.
If we have a veteran that is in dire needs of something, we as an organization will, you know, especially if it's a Purple Heart recipient, we will, you know, throw an impromptu event
just to raise
some money to help them out with something.
Okay.
You know, we're assisting a combat vet in Connecticut, actually. We have a steak dinner over at the Bird's Eye in New London on July 21st.
Okay.
And we're throwing the steak night to help him out with his living situation for the next 2 months while he's finishing school here in Connecticut.
Right.
And then he's moving out to Indiana. We found out that he was sold his house, and when he came back last week, he was going to be living in a horse trailer. And we were like, nope, not happening. You know, immediately it was, you know, Brent and I turned around as soon as we heard that news. It was immediately our brains started going.
Fundraiser.
And we were just like, okay, steak night, we can, you know, get people out there and help us out and help this. You know, he's a double amputee, great guy. I mean, I know this guy personally. He's wonderful. And to think that, you know, he'd be living in a horse trailer for 2 months while he finished school, you know, just so he could take care of his family and stuff. No, we won't have that.
Do you find these guys and gals are resistant to taking quote-unquote charity?
Some of them are.
Yep.
We have, you know, that's the part of the difficult part of the process is talking to them and saying, hey, this is what we do, this is what we're going to do. And they're like, no, I don't want that. Give it to somebody else.
That deserves it.
Yeah.
Feel like they don't.
Yeah, someone could be completely down on their luck. Yeah. You know, they could have $2 to their name and be 1 foot out the door of losing their house. And they'll turn around and be like, there's somebody else that has 50 cents in their pocket and no door to come out of. Give it to them.
And isn't that the people you want to help even more?
Yeah. And they're sitting there like, we're like, okay.
They're not saying, gimme, gimme, gimme.
Yep.
Yeah, those are the people you want to help even more, you know.
Yeah.
Pam, have you found it fulfilling being part of the organization?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Like I said earlier, just to be able to give back to the community, I think, is very important for everybody.
Yeah, it's very, it's absolutely a wonderful thing you guys are doing. And we'll talk more about it at the next break because there's a lot of charities out there, and some of them are bogus and some of them are real, and you can't get more real than this one because it helps a local, helps someone that risked their life for us and our freedom. So when the fireworks are going off and the flags are flying and the hot dogs are being eaten, there's someone that may be struggling in a dark room that needs our help. So I want you all to buy a ticket to the steak dinner at the Bird's Eye on July 21st.
July 21st.
And the steak dinner is how much?
$25.
$25. So you get a steak dinner, which you can't do in Mystic, by the way, with no charity involved. So in any case, go to Facebook and the Guardians of the Purple Heart and let them know you want a ticket to the dinner on July 21st. We'll be back in a few. Dennis O'Brien, Retirement Life and Investing Show. Thanks. Welcome back to the Retirement Life and Investing Show with Dennis O'Brien, President of O'Brien Retirement Investment Group, Exit 90, up from Stake Loft in Mystic, Connecticut, with Doug Capazzi and Pam Gracie. We are talking about the Guardians of the Purple Heart, whose mission is to help one Purple Heart recipient. What do you have to do to get a Purple Heart, Doug?
You have to be injured in combat.
All right. Yeah. Is that the only requirement, or... Is there a life-saving part of it, or is it?
I'm pretty sure there is. I mean, I know a couple of Marines, soldiers, sailors. They weren't directly injured as far as like missing a limb or having like a bullet wound or whatever.
Right.
They, because of a traumatic event, they developed PTSD and then were given a Purple Heart because of that series of events. So I know there's, you know, certain criteria that you have to meet in order to receive the Purple Heart. As far as the actual details of it, I am not 100%, and I don't want to give out any, you know, like false information or anything like that.
Right.
So.
Right. Now, I was just out of curiosity.
Yeah.
Things occur in this brain of mine. I shoot them over, and you know, you don't.
Yeah.
It's no big deal. So you're having a dinner at the Bird's Eye, July 21st. How many people with companies, Pam, you were mentioning people with companies out there that they could do?
Yeah, if there's companies out there that would like to help sponsor, they have the ability to provide gift cards, gift baskets, any resources that would help offset cost would also obviously be very beneficial.
Would it be best for them to go through the Facebook site to contact you guys about doing that, or is there a phone number they can call or an email they should reach
they
you
can
out?
The best way is to either do a Facebook message on Guardians of the Purple Heart Facebook page,
right?
Or if they would like to email me directly, they can at doug.gotph@gmail.com, and that'll go straight to my phone, and I'll work with them on that.
Okay.
A lot of times it's probably better to go through the Facebook page because that is monitored by two other people. So our response rate is going to be a lot quicker than it would be through email because I might be tied up with, you know, something else going on with the organization and I won't be able to answer that email right away.
Yeah.
But, you know, and that's a great thing. It's because of the hours and it's all volunteer basis. So we have different times that people work. Right. It's almost like we're available 24 hours a day. There might be like a 4-hour block where we're not available because we're trying to grab some sleep, but. Yeah. You know, someone's always up to answer questions.
yeah, absolutely. PTSD is a very strange phenomenon.
It is.
Sometimes the delay is decades.
Yes, it is. Sometimes it's years and years and years. It can be, you know, right away. My situation, it was actually, I think it was 4 years after the fact, 5 years after the fact, and it didn't pop up until my son said two words while he was in the hospital. And those two words just completely...
Triggered.
It was like the dam broke, and then after that, everything just completely changed.
Yeah.
So... And then it was weird, you know. I didn't know what was going on, and after a while, it was a little bit scary to admit. But you know, talking to people and going to counselors and all that stuff at the VA, they're like, "Yep, this is what's going on." So,
I heard a story of a kid that his father used to come home at, you know, drink, alcoholic, and would, you know, smack the kid around at night, wake him up out of bed. And he's 35, 40 years old. And he's sleeping with his wife, and he's tossing and turning in the middle of the night, jumping up out of the bed. From 7 years old to 38 years old. Boom. Starts manifesting itself in the marriage. To the point where, you know, the wife had to, you know. And that is PTSD.
Yep.
It's just another form of it.
Correct.
So, in a military way, I would not be surprised if the symptoms come a lot quicker.
Yeah.
And 4 years is relatively quick because I've heard stories of World War II bomber pilots flying 32 missions over Europe and they come back home. Then 15, 20 years later, boom.
Yep.
You know, drinking, you know, they bottle it all up, comes out in strokes and everything else. So.
Yeah.
So we know a lot more, and we do a lot more today, even though the pain at the time, it must be, you know, just overwhelming. So you can help the vets with this too, right?
I don't want to say I can't help them. The unit I was with in the Army was a mental health unit, so I did go through a lot of training on the PTSD side and the mental health side.
Right.
Even though I was a mechanic, I was still stuck in these training courses because it was required with our unit. So I would sit, listen to, you know, these doctors talk and talk about signs and symptoms and treatment. When we were over in Iraq, you know, I managed the motor pools for the hospitals. And there was times where I would actually have to assist the hospital with patients.
Right.
And that's where that training came in handy. So
right.
I did a lot of stuff with the PTSD side, you know, while we were in country. So I do a lot of reading on it. I'm also involved with the Veterans Equine Therapeutic Services group, the vets group, and we do equine therapy free for veterans down in North Stonington.
Okay.
I'm not a doctor. I will not try to fix anybody, but I will do the best I can to talk to them and give them the tools that they require to actually battle it.
Right.
So I have PTSD, and there's a lot of stuff that I deal with on a day-to-day basis, but because of books that I've read and, you know, training that I have received, I can give them tools from my toolbox and say, look, just try this and see if it works. And
right.
if it doesn't, then we try another tool.
Right.
You know, we're not going to give up on them.
Yep.
You know, if somebody tells me they're having an issue, I will, you know, there's times where I go to bed at 11 o'clock at night, 12 o'clock at night, and 1 o'clock in the morning. You know, my phone's ringing,
right.
and it's somebody that just needs to talk, and it's just because they're having these thoughts or whatever, you know, and I give them the tools from my toolbox, and 6 o'clock in the morning rolls around, and we're still talking, and it's like, I have time to start the day, you know, let's go.
Wow, is that something?
So it's, you know, it's just a matter of giving them the right tools to use.
They say even police officers involved in shootings, it's mandatory now that they go through the counseling, because they know from experience that it'll speed up the whole process of dealing with the guilt, especially if someone was a killed, because it comes down to ultimately guilt,
right,
and shock to the nervous system, you know. So those are the things. So I think it's absolutely wonderful what you're doing. It's so personal. It's not like you're writing a check and I feel good and
yeah.
I'll see a video on. This is much more personal.
Yeah, so our last recipient, Peter, who's a Vietnam vet from Milford, he was part of the 38th Scout Dog Platoon, and he was one of the first units to actually implement canines into the military while in Vietnam. And I've listened to this guy's story twice, and every time this guy told his story, I got choked up. And it was a very personal experience to listen to this guy tell a story about a dog that he developed this bond with. And then, you know, during our interview process, we asked him, what can we do to make your life easier? And he was like, well, because of my mobility, I can't mow my yard. My tractor isn't working, so I have to pay somebody to do it, and I don't have a lot of money. So I'm like, okay. So going through this whole interview process, you know, and then we start raising money and we start going, you know, hitting the pavement and whatnot. And we had a dinner for him on June 23rd where we presented to him all the proceeds that we basically collected throughout the year. And we were able to raise enough money and donate a riding lawnmower so he can cut his yard, a snowblower so he can actually get himself out in the wintertime, a recumbent bike so he can continue his physical therapy, a trailer for his tractor. We also were replacing the hot water heater in his house at no cost to him.
Right.
And, you know, I delivered all the stuff down to his house, and he was like, one of these things would have been enough to right. just help me. He's like, but you fulfilled my Christmas list. And I was like, well, that's what we do. And at that point, you know, he's like, I never asked for any of this. And I'm like, and that's why you're getting it.
That's why you're getting it, right.
Because you do so much. He does so much for the veteran community. He runs MS groups out of the VA. He's very well known in the VA for what he does, but he never asks for anything in return.
Right.
And that's, you know, that was huge for us. It was very personal. And to have him, you know, he sent us a text message. He sent it to me, and I shared it with the group. He was just like, you know, years and years and years ago, a part of me was... He said, I think the message was like, a part of me was left in Vietnam. And he was like, and you guys brought it back.
There you go. What could be more personal?
You know, and you're looking at the message and you're like, what do I say?
Yeah.
You know, how do I respond to this? You just don't. So, I mean, it's just, when you talk about personal, you know, we're out there, we're in the community, we're, you know, making big moves and stuff. But on the organization side, it's very personal for everyone
to be doing this. Yeah. If you'd like to give or you'd like to participate more fully, go to the Facebook site Guardians of the Purple Heart. My name's Dennis O'Brien, Retirement Life and Investing Show. We'll be back with Doug and Pam in the last section in a few minutes. Thank you. Dennis O'Brien, president of O'Brien Retirement Investment Group, Mystic, Connecticut, exit 90. Come by and say hi. Anyway, I want to get back to the Retirement Life and Investing Show here today. I want to talk about, before we go back to Doug and Pam, I just want to talk about how do you become a millionaire in America? Everybody wants to be a millionaire, right? Well, it's not as difficult as it seems to become a millionaire if you're committed to working hard to get there. After starting young and making smart financial decisions, anyone can become a millionaire over time. You don't need a million-dollar idea or six-figure salary to reach it. What you need is consistency, commitment, and good financial habits. If one of your life goals is to become a millionaire, there is 10 things you need to do to get there. Number one, make a plan. You wouldn't drive to New York to L.A. without a roadmap or Google Maps. This is dated. Why would you try to grow your savings from zero to $1 million without a plan? So you do need a plan, and I can help you with that, okay? Once you have a timetable, we can calculate how much you need and calculate the targeted return that you want to earn. Can you do it? Become a millionaire by 65 years old by putting $500 a month in? Absolutely. If you put it in and invest properly, you probably can become a millionaire by the time you're 65, but you got to be consistent about it, and it has to be automatic. Getting some help with a financial plan, investing your savings, can be a little bit overwhelming, and that's where I come in to help you set it up, use it with discipline, and invest it properly. Creating a budget. For people earning $60,000 a year, $500 a month is only 10% of the paychecks, but it can be difficult. So you got to set up a budget and have everything laid out ahead of time. Forget about the neighbors. Pam's laughing over there, but if your goal is to become a millionaire and impress your neighbors, friends, and family, you're going to have a difficult decision to make. People impress with neighbors by buying the fastest car, biggest boat, latest tech gadget, or posting pictures of a luxurious family vacations on social media. Unfortunately, all those things that impress your neighbors are also poison to your finances. Aggressive long-term savings and investing involve living well below your means, but just because you have it doesn't mean you have to spend it and whatnot. So avoiding credit card debt like the plague, avoiding all debt like the plague, except the mortgage on your house, which you want to prepay, staying disciplined. Remember, it's a marathon, not a sprint. Check your progress, which is very interesting to do, very easy to do over time, and be positive. Henry Ford, founder of Ford Motor Company, once addressed the power of positivity. Whether you can or you think you can't, you're right. And I love that saying because he said it. It seems trivial, but whether you can or you think you can't, you're right. Thanks, Henry. And don't panic. If you're not fully invested in the stock market, almost every long-term financial plan approved by a financial advisor will have some degree of exposure to stocks. Stock market can be a scary thing. But remember what Ron Barron says. The economy doubles every 10 to 12 years, which means the stock market, on average, doubles every 10 to 12 years. Well, that's 7% compounded. So look for the dips to buy, but hold long-term, because that's the way you fully can benefit in the wonderful thing we call America. Speaking of America, back to Doug a minute. Doug, do you have any other events for the Guardians of the Purple Heart?
We sure do. We always have something in the works. So July 20th, the night before our steak dinner, we're actually going to be up at Mohegan Sun for the Connecticut Sun Hometown Heroes Military Appreciation Night. So what that is basically a night dedicated to hometown heroes, veterans, first responders, things of that nature.
Right.
And we'll be out on the concourse. We'll be, you know, basically talking about our organization to anyone who wants to come and talk to us and hang out and just basically see us. And the great thing is that we actually work with Mohegan Sun and we sell tickets at a discounted price. And every time that we work with Mohegan Sun, we're always bringing something else for our supporters.
Right.
So our tickets start as low as $21 and it's $21, $26, and $53. Now, okay. If people buy tickets at the $53 price, their name and email address is going to be put on a special list. A week before the drawing, we're actually going to draw six names, Facebook Live, and then those people that we draw get to participate in a ball exchange. So what that means is Mohegan Sun will escort them out, and as the players come out onto the court, they will sign a basketball for them, and they get to take that basketball home. But it's only limited to six people. Then we also have today is actually the last day people can sign up buy tickets for this. But if you sign up for the package, you'll actually get like a hat and then passes to the post game autograph session. But you have to go on to our Facebook page, find the pinned post at the top. I put it there personally. I know it's there, and just follow the link to buy tickets. It's going to be a great night. You know, any time that we work with Mohegan Sun, it's always...
That's July 20th?
July 20th, yes.
Okay.
And I think they average about anywhere between 9,000 to 10,000 people per game.
Yeah, they got
we
a nice
definitely
following.
Want to push the limits of, you know, that arena. We want 10,000 people in there.
Right.
It's a great time for people to come out and support the veterans and the first responders, things like that.
Yeah,
so
that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Pam, are there any UConn players involved with this?
There are. Don't ask me all of their names, though. My mom could tell you every single one of them.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah.
But yes, there's actually going to be UConn players on coming on the team that's coming in. I know for sure.
You know what team that is?
The one that the Connecticut Sun is the opposing. Yeah, I can
yeah.
Find
that's
out
the opposing
you.
Team because I know some of them. I know some of them. If it's the Seattle team. They have a couple of really good ones. And I think Phoenix has Diana Taurasi. And Seattle has a couple of them.
So
Brianna Stewart.
Brianna. That's
Brianna Stewart?
I believe she is going to be
Yes, it's the Seattle Storm.
Yeah, they're really good.
And the UConn alums is going to be Sue Bird and Brianna Stewart.
Yeah.
They're going to be there. So
That's a good game.
So yeah. All you UConn fans, go to Guardians and buy your tickets.
So do we boo Brianna and Sue now, or do we cheer for just them? Or?
No, you basically come and you cheer for the veterans and the first responders and everyone who's in the military. That's what the night is for.
Yeah.
We're going to be there. I believe, you know, the Veterans Equine Therapeutic Group is going to be there. There's going to be, I believe, a couple of other nonprofits involved. Yeah. But, we're going to be out there in the community pushing, you know, what we do and talking about what we do. And if people want to get involved, I mean, like I said, all they have to do is just everything can be filtered right through our Facebook page.
Okay.
We do a weekly video. We make sure that every week we're either on the Wednesday Hump Day Hotspot or our Thursday Throat Punch Thursday edition, where we're always bringing information and news.
Brett does those, right?
Well, it's a combination. Brent will do them, and then like this past week, he actually brought me on, so we were both doing it together.
Yeah.
Sometimes I will do the videos, so it's. We try to keep it interesting and funny and entertaining.
He's a character.
Oh, he is.
I was watching one of his videos and I was like, my wife passed by. She goes, "Who's that?"
The one great thing about Brent when he does his videos, it's always entertaining. You never know which way he's going to take it. And the way his mind works, in the military we have this saying called a soup sandwich.
Yep.
A lot of times it might be like a soup sandwich, but when he delivers the message, I mean, that message gets delivered with a punch.
Yeah.
And he might be all over the place for a few minutes, but by the end of the video,
he gets there.
Where we're going to be, what we're doing, why we're doing it, how we're doing it. You know, he delivers all the pertinent information.
Soup sandwich. Let's go back to that again. Is that when someone's a little all over the place, but eventually they get there?
Yeah, that's when we call them when they're tore up from the floor up.
tore up from the floor up.
We call them a soup sandwich because it's just, you can't help them.
they're just what they are, you know?
Yep.
Yeah. Well, I knew some guys on Wall Street that were definitely salad and soup.
Yeah. And the great thing is if everyone... comes out to the game on the 20th, they can buy our tickets as low as $21. What I forgot to mention is that a portion of those ticket sales, the money comes back to the organization. So $5 from every ticket sale comes back to the organization to raise money for our 2019 recipient.
Super.
So we haven't even held our first organization meeting for our 2019 fiscal year, and we're already hitting the ground running, raising money for our next recipient.
I've been banned from Connecticut Sun games.
Why is that?
I got a ticket one time on the fourth row and watched the game and started yelling defensive coaching tips to the players on the game, and the seniors around me said, "Get out of here."
Well, you can come to the game, just put on a fake mustache, you'll be good.
And the two players I was mad at, they were the two bigs from a year or two ago. I mean, the coach traded them within a month after the game, and I went, "What took them so long?"
If people want, they can come out to the game on Friday the 20th, and then while they're there, we can possibly work it out to where they get tickets to the actual dinner for the Stank Night the next night.
That's
so if
great.
People want to, you know, basically buy their ticket that night while we're there, I mean, we can work something out and make that happen as well. So one-stop shopping, come hang out with us, you know, picture opportunities.
So the dinner is at the Bird's Eye.
Yep.
Where's the Bird's Eye? I haven't heard of it.
It's in New London. I forget what.
Is it on Bank or is it?
Jefferson, that's right.
It's on Jefferson?
Yeah, it's on Jefferson. Okay. If you blink, you'll miss it. But if we're going to be there, there's no way you can miss where we're going to be.
Yeah.
We have signs and,
you
know, sometimes we actually have Captain America show up at our events. And he
really?
Will, yeah. It's
That's not Brent dressed up, is it?
No. He has his own outfits. He would do it.
I know he would.
No. We actually met this guy last year at the Baby's Heart Run, which is happening in August 19th, I think it is, this year.
Yeah.
And he's dressed up Captain America. He basically customized his motorcycle to look like Captain America's bike.
Yeah.
And just got to talking. And he actually showed up to my son's birthday party dressed in full gear. Showed up to our tattoo event. I mean, this guy just makes appearances here and there. And you never know what's going to happen. And, you know, last year at at Spirit Gallery in New London, he shows up and his Captain America set up, and he's out front trying to get people to come in and get tattoos. And we're already packed at this point, and he's bringing more people in.
Wow.
So you might have Captain America out there.
Captain America, everybody. Captain America, so, the real deal. Yeah. Not the fake one, not the Hollywood one.
Yeah, we go big.
Go big or don't go at all.
Exactly.
Guys, thanks so much for coming on.
Oh, thank you for having us.
Yeah, and thank you for the wonderful, wonderful work you do. It's so personal, you know, it's so one-to-one. It's not just write a check and see you later. This is what do you need, take the phone calls, actually give them something they need. I think it's absolutely wonderful. You guys are welcome on anytime.
Thank you, sir.
Keep coming on. Tell us about your events. Let's build this up between Facebook, this radio show, our BNI networks, and anything else we can do. We're going to build. You're going to be complaining about how much work you have.
We won't complain. My goal, and Brent and I, we've talked about this plenty of times, and everyone in the organization is in agreement, we want to become national.
Yeah.
We want to have a chapter in every single state.
I think
to where it's.
I think you're going to do that in your lifetime. Thanks again, guys,
for
coming on. Dennis O'Brien, president of O'Brien Retirement Investment Group. If you'd like my retirement 10 commandments, just email me at dobrien@ifgrr.com. Have a wonderful weekend, everybody. Please stay safe out there, and please don't tailgate. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye now.